12th chapter, the book of Romans. We'll begin in verse number 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Heavenly Father, Lord, bless us. I pray, Lord, that as we preach this morning, maybe someone who is seeking direction, seeking confirmation in an area of their life concerning the will of God, that this will be a help to them. Lord, it seems like in at least my life, daily, it seems like I have to discern your will about something. And Lord, I suppose that's the way it is with most of us. If not daily, often, Lord, we're faced with something. And if we've got a right heart, want to do the will of God, we want to do what you would have us to, what you would will us to do. Lord, I pray that you would put us in a little better situation to be able to discern the will of God concerning, Lord, the decisions of our life. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I'm going to preach on this subject, how to discern the will of God, the will of God. I won't share all the specifics, but I've had two different men this week come to me and say, Brother Jerry, there's something that I'd like you to pray with me about. And it wasn't a right or wrong decision. Those are easy, aren't they? Well, they should be easy for us, but they should be. It wasn't a right or wrong. It wasn't a, well, scriptural or unscriptural. It was simply a decision concerning the direction of their life or something in their life that they just needed to know the mind of God on. Folks, let me say this. Small decisions are big decisions. Let me say that again. Small decisions are big decisions. Most people do not get out of the will of God with one big decision. They get out of the will of God as a result of a series of many small decisions. And so let me just help you today. There are probably, I would not be surprised if there's over 50% of the people in this room that right now are trying to discern the will of God about some decision in their life. That would not surprise me a bit if there was half of us. And you say, Brother Jerry, it's not like I'm trying to rebel against God. It's not that this is a wrong thing that I'm contemplating doing. It's just two possibilities, but I'm kind of at a Y in the road, and I want to make sure I choose the right path. I believe, folks, that we have to be careful of this, like I said, small decisions of life, because a few small wrong turns, and you can end up in a whole different place than really what God wanted you to end up. And so let me see if I can help you today with that. I want to give you, this is going to be honestly more like a Sunday school lesson. This is going to be more like a Wednesday night Bible study. But I wanted to talk to the broad spectrum of those that attend our church. I feel like everyone faces this. And so I'd like to take some familiar portions of Scripture and break them down for you. I want to stand before God one of these days having found and done the reasons that he put me on this planet. I want to find the will of God and do it. And we preach out of these verses a lot of times to young people, but we preach along the lines of them finding the purpose of their life, the maybe what we would call the large will of God. I don't preach that much anymore because I really believe, even though that's important, I believe young people, if you will properly discern the small decisions of life and make sure you stay in the will of God, the big ones just take care of themselves. I really mean that. And so I don't believe that the will of God for anyone in this room is one big, giant, one-time thing. I think every day God has a will. I think God has something that he wills me to do today and he wills me to accomplish today. And I want to make sure that I discern what that is and do it. And if you live every day like that, just get up tomorrow morning and just say, Lord, I want to do your will and find your will. You know, as adults, when we used to, as teenagers, pray, oh, God, I don't want to miss your will in a marriage partner. I don't want to miss your will concerning a calling you may have in my life or a direction. I don't want to miss your will on where I'm supposed to live and where I'm what I'm supposed to do. Just treat every day with that same fervor, that same desire to get it right and do it right. Amen. And if you do that, it's amazing how your life is lived consistently within the perfect will of God. I love this portion of Scripture. There's so many wonderful things. I believe also it points out to us some dangers. I think that there are some ways that it's easy for us to miss the will of God. And so let me just give you four things that are important. If I said, okay, here's a person I believe for the most part have lived their life in the will of God. If you find those type of people and you put their lives under a microscope, you know what you find out? That they have four distinct attributes. Four things that are pretty rock solid in their life, and it keeps them on the right path. Let's talk about those things. First of all, if you're going to discern the will of God, then you have to have, number one, a saved soul. A saved soul. I beseech you, therefore, what's the next word? Brethren. Let me just say this. If you're unsaved, I can tell you what the will of God for you is. God has discerned only one will, and He's only going to discern to you one will for your life at this point, and that is He wills for you to be saved. He wants for you to be saved. Brother Jerry, I'm not saved, and I'd like to find God's will. Okay, here's the will of God for your life. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So I can stand up here with authority and say, on the authority of God's word, I can tell you that today God wants you to be saved. You mean just like that? Just like that. Yeah, but I'm supposed to tingle, right? No, just like that. But I'm supposed to know, just like that. If you're here and you're not saved, you know what God's will is? For you to be saved today. And God brought you to a church, and God's put it on the preacher's heart to tell you that you ought to be saved today. And we've got people ready to show you from the Bible how to be saved. And let me say this, I believe if you're not saved, right now the Holy Spirit's telling you, as we read in Revelation, where it says the Spirit and the bride say, come, and you're probably hearing a voice from God right now saying, listen to that man, he's right, you need to be saved, you are a sinner, you need to get that taken care of. And let me just say this, first of all, before any of you can find the will of God, you have to be saved. Lost people don't find the will of God. Lost people can't live in the will of God. There's nothing that you can do right spiritually until you get saved. Once you get saved, God will begin to direct your life. But first of all, He just wants you to come to repentance, to come to that point where you realize you're a sinner, you're sorry for that sin, you're willing to accept the free gift of eternal life provided by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The will of God for you today is to be saved, is to be saved. So number one, people that live in the will of God and have a pretty good success and have a track record of making good decisions that's kept them in the will of God, the first thing that's absolutely necessary is that they're saved. Number two, let me give you this thought. First of all, in order to stay in the will of God and find the will of God, discern the will of God, you have to have a saved soul. Number two, you need to have a sanctified body. A sanctified body. Now listen very carefully what I'm going to say. The thing that will probably get you to miss the will of God quicker than anything else is the flesh. Is the flesh. You see, the flesh, the Bible says, warreth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. So the Spirit of God wants to direct you to the will of God. But the flesh is the one that wars against that happening. And if you make decisions in the flesh, then you are going to more than likely make the wrong decision about anything in your life. Now listen, I've got people in here that's trying to make all kinds of different types of decisions. I'm not talking to young people about trying to find the right married partner. I'm not talking about young people trying to decide whether or not you're called to preach. I'm talking about the decision you're trying to make right now. Now, the first thing you've got to do is you've got to take the flesh out of it. Notice this. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, it's interesting that God begins to, first of all, after salvation, when talking about discerning the will of God, he begins to talk about our bodies. He begins to present the idea of the flesh and the danger of the flesh influencing us in the wrong way. He goes to this extreme. He says, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. And he's basically saying this, Christian, brethren, if you're trying to make a decision, you're trying to figure out whether it's the will of God, the first thing you got to do is you've got to take that flesh and you've got to build you an altar. You've got to build an altar, and you've got to lay that flesh on the altar, and you've got to take that knife, and you've got to crucify that flesh. You've got to kill that flesh. Crucify the flesh and the lust thereof. I guarantee you, if you'll go back in your life, and you'll look at it, Brother Jerry, if I could change three things, and you made three, if I could change one thing, that mistake was probably made as a result of listening to the flesh instead of listening to the Spirit. That's just a fact of life. Now, let me give you this, because people that tend to stay in the will of God and find the will of God and execute the will of God properly in their life, they understand and they understand the importance and of sacrificing and crucifying the flesh. They understand the danger of the flesh rising up and leading them in a wrong path. Now, let me share some scripture with you. I'll read this one to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18 through 20. The Bible says, flee fornication. Let every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Now, even though this flesh works against us, we've been commanded, even in our flesh, even in our body, we are to see to it that our body brings glory to God. Young people, please listen to me for a second. And I know this isn't necessarily a teenage message this morning, but I've got to say this. You know, the fastest way to permanently miss the perfect will of God for your life is to get involved in fornication. I just need to plead with you for a minute. I'm going to be very careful and cautious what I say this morning. But folks, sometimes we've got to say some things to our young people. Listen to me. Listen to me. God says that you're to flee fornication. Flee fornication. You're to treat your body as the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. Your body, if you're saved, is a container, a house, a home to the Holy Spirit of God. And you need to be very, very careful, very, very cautious in this matter of living in a pure Christian life. Now, don't mess up in this area. Don't play with fire in this area. Stay pure in your life. Listen, the Bible doesn't say flirt with fornication. It says flee fornication. Brother Jerry, how come you believe in so many preventatives? Well, folks, I'd rather do the preventatives than have to deal with the disasters. Well, I just think some of the strictness and some of the... Listen, you know what? If you mess up, you're going to wish to God you'd have stayed over here where the strictness is. You need to build as many buffers in your life. Well, my mom and dad, on their curfews and some of their rules and some... thank God for every one of them. They love you. They care about you. They're trying to protect you. What happens is if you get your flesh tied up and aroused and involved and you're trying to make a decision with all those things stirred up, let me tell you, I guarantee you 99.9% of the time you're going to make the wrong decision. Now, folks, listen to me. That's good for the teenagers, but it's good for us married folks too. Amen. You've got to be careful that you flee fornication. Folks, listen to me. We've got to watch what we let get into these eyeballs. We got to watch what we let get into this mind of ours. We're going to have a hard time discerning the Holy Spirit will for our life and following the Holy Spirit and discerning the will of God if we are captivated and captured and controlled by the flesh. By the flesh. Let me have you go to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. And I think that God wanted me to say some things about this. I'm going to spend just a minute or two more on this. I think that this is important. Folks, listen to me. I've watched marriages end in a disaster. You know why? Because somebody forgot to present their body a living sacrifice on that particular day. You can't trust your flesh. You can't trust your flesh. You can't feed your flesh and starve your spirit and expect to find and fulfill the will of God. You just can't do it. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 and verse number 1. Furthermore then, we beseech you, brother, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus that that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. Boy, it sounds like somebody there has a desire to see his people live in the will of God. Verse 2, for you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus, for this is the will of God. This is the will of God. Even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. But let every one of you know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any manner, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such as we also have forewarned you and testified. For the Lord hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness, unto holiness. Now, I'm talking about good Christian men. I'm talking about good Christian men that I could talk to you about, that I could tell you testimony of, good Christian men. I'm talking about bus captains, Sunday school teachers. I'm talking about good men, deacons. I'm talking about preachers. They begin to play around with these areas of the flesh, begin to involve themselves and defraud themselves, or allow someone else to defraud them, or defraud somebody else. Begin to play with fire. In the book of Proverbs, Solomon said, hey, can you take fire into your bosom and not be burned? And what I'm saying is, folks, the fastest way to find yourself on the outside looking in when it comes to the will of God is to not temper and control your flesh. Now, God has a right for us to look down and say, listen, I expect you to live, even in this matter of your body, in a holy, acceptable way. God says the standard for conduct for the Christian when it comes to the body is for it to be maintained with holiness and it to be acceptable unto God. He goes as far as say that is your reasonable service. It's your reasonable service. Young people, it's not unreasonable for your preacher to get up here and say you're supposed to live your life in such a way so that you don't shame your testimony and you come to the marriage altar pure and clean one day. That is not unreasonable. It's not unreasonable for a preacher to get up here and say, men, you know what? You're to stay in love with your wives. You're supposed to stay focused on your wives. You're not supposed to be looking around, flirting around, carrying on. Folks, good night. We cannot discern the will of God if we get into that mindset and begin to go down that road. We're going to make bad decisions. We're going to make huge mistakes. So number one, if you want to discern the will of God, first, I'm talking about a decision you're trying to make right now. Number one, are you saved? You say, well, I am. Good. If you say, well, I'm not, then get saved today. Number two, let me ask you something. Is your flesh, has your body been presented to God as a living sacrifice? In this area of the flesh, of the body, are you living a holy life? Are you doing things and treating your body as the temple of the Holy Spirit? Is what you're wearing and what you're doing and how you're interacting with other people, is it acceptable unto God? And if it's not, you're going to have a hard time discerning the will of God. I hope you'll take that. I want to emphasize that more, but I feel like the Lord wants me to move on. It is a reasonable thing for God to say to his people, live purely. Think purely. Stay within the bounds of matrimony. Young people, be pure, be clean, be decent. Treat your body like the temple of the Holy Spirit. Those are right things. Not only are they right things, but if you fail to do so, more than likely you're going to misinterpret the will of God because the flesh wars against the spirit. Now let me go to the next thing. I'm going to give you two more things. Number one, you have to have a saved soul if you're going to find and discern the will of God. Number two, you have to have a sacrificed body. Lay that on the altar and sacrifice the flesh. Number two, you need to have a sanctified mind. Look, if you will, in verse number two. I believe we talked about this in Sunday school, didn't we? I'm telling you, folks, everything I said in Sunday school is a precursor to what we're going to say now. I think so many times the battle is lost in the mind. It's if we don't think right, we're not going to do right. Now notice, the Bible says this. There's two different ways to think. Verse number two, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You can think like the world thinks, or you can have that thinking transformed. transformed by having your mind renewed, having your mind removed. Now, what does it mean, not conformed to this world? What that's saying is this: if you're going to discern God's will, you got to eliminate worldly thinking. Eliminate worldly thinking. Now, let me help you on a very practical level here. Say, Brother Jerry, I've got two different possibilities. I'm trying to make a decision. I'm trying to discern the will of God. And I'm going to tell you, I've done this. I'm talking about doing it. I'm not talking about thinking it. I'm talking about doing it. I think sometimes you ought to write the both decisions on a piece of paper, two separate pieces of paper. Write the decision number one, decision number two. Number one, first of all, look at both those decisions. In doing one or the other, are you breaking any of the commandments of God or going against Bible principles? Say, it's not that kind of decision, Brother Jerry. There's no right or wrong. Fine. If there is, boy, it's just easy to take one of those pieces of paper, water it up, and you know what your decision is. Let the Bible, first of all, listen, don't come to me. Don't come to me and tell me that the Holy Spirit of God told you to do something opposite of the Word of God. That's crazy. It's amazing how many times in my Christian life I've had some Christian trying to convince me that the Holy Spirit led them to do something opposite of what the Word of God says. He never will. He never will. Now, let's say you have those two pieces of paper. And you say, well, this is one decision. Here's the other decision. Now, what I want you to do next, and I've done this, is I want you to write down every reason why you should make that decision, why you believe that even should be considered as a possibility. What I would say is the pros. Write all the pros down of both decisions. Now, after you get that done, I want you to look at what you wrote down. Because so many times what we'll see in our arguments for a particular decision is humanistic thinking. Yes, humanistic thinking. You know what humanistic thinking is? Humanistic thinking is thinking like the world. Yep. We'll find ourselves writing down reasons that is not based in Scripture. It's arguments that the world would give. And what's nice about writing them down is we don't always hear what we say. And we don't consider properly sometimes what we think. So write them down. Make yourself write it down. And then step back and bow your head and say, Lord, right now I need to make a decision. I want to stay within your will. I want to get this right. So help me to look now with fresh eyes at why I think it might be good to do a certain thing or not do a certain thing on both lists. And Lord, if there is worldly thinking, help that to jump off the page and help me to be aware that I need to discern or to have my mind transformed and to rethink this from a biblical or godly standpoint. Transformed thinking. Now, let me share something with you, and I think this is also a very, very good piece of advice for each and every one of you. You say, well, Brother Jerry, what do? I write those things down, I pray that prayer, and then I just look back at it, and all of a sudden, no. Let me tell you what I believe with all my heart. I would take those two pieces of paper, I'd write the two decisions, I'd write the reasons underneath it, I'd take them, and I would probably, in the next 24 to 48 hours, I would spend an extended amount of time just reading the Bible. I can't tell you. Someone told me this here a while back. They said, Brother Jerry, I've got two decisions. They're so opposite, and I feel like there's not a right or wrong, but you know what? They can't both be the will of God, and how do I know? And then have you ever thought this? This is what the man said. He said, you know, I'm so worried that maybe my desire or my temptation to do one of them or the other may not, that discernment may not be coming from God. How do I know it's not the devil trying to get me to do something and take me out of the will of God? Now, this is what I told him. I said, listen, anytime I'm in that condition where I really don't know what to do and they're taking me in two pretty different directions, I spend an extended amount of time reading the Bible. Now, why do I do that? I'll tell you why. The Bible and reading the Word of God does two things. Number one, it scares the devil away. How many would say amen to that? Amen. I mean, Jesus, when he was tempted in the wilderness, and Satan started tempting him in a direction that he shouldn't go, he just started quoting Scripture, and you know what? The devil can't stand up to that. Yes, what I found out is this. The Bible, first of all, by reading the Bible and spend a lot of time in the Bible before I make a decision, it tends to quiet the voice of the oppressor. It tends to run off the devil, And the Word of God tends to amplify the voice of the Holy Spirit of God. You see, just that simple. Just that simple. Really, just that simple. So sometimes what we've done is we're trying to make a decision and we haven't spent a whole lot of time in the Bible. If you aren't reading your Bible regularly and you're making a life-changing decision, you need to put that decision on hold till you spend some time reading the Bible, studying the Bible. You say, will I see it on the page? By the way, you might. But a lot of times, it may not be, hey, do this, but there's a principle or a verse that comes out and gives you clarity. And you wouldn't have found that if it wasn't for the Word of God. I mean, there's been times when I've been struggling with a decision, and I just get into the Bible extra. I said, Lord, I'm going to spend more time in it. I'm going to read it more. And I'll be going along, and there'll be a certain verse that has a certain phrase. And it's just like God says, you're supposed to do it. And I get an utter peace in my heart, and I got it because I was in the Word of God. And so be careful. Man, our mind is, it'll play tricks on us. I mean, you got to be careful about making decisions if you're not immersed in the Scriptures. So a sanctified mind, sanctified mind. Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And I believe with all of my heart that we need to ask God, Lord, help me to think like you think about this. Help me to discern what you're discerning. Help me to see this through your eyes before I make this decision, and make sure that your mind has been transformed so that you're thinking as God thinks about it, not just as you would think about it. So number one, make sure that you have a saved soul. Number two, a sacrificed body. Number three, a sanctified mind. And then number four, look at verse number three. And I believe this so many times will help you into the discerning of the will of God. We read verse 1 and 2. We tend to preach out of those two verses because at the end of verse 2 it says, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And God does want to show us His will. But God will only show His will to save people. He'll only show His will to those who have sacrificed their body. And He'll only show His will to those who have transformed their thinking or sanctified their mind. Now let me give you the number 3 or number 4 here. Look at verse number 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Let me just give you this also. You ought to have a saved soul and a sacrificed body, a sanctified mind. But you know what? I think this has helped me discern the will of God when the other three didn't seem to give it clarity so many times. I always want to approach every decision from a servant's heart. Yes, a servant's heart. A servant's heart. Now, Paul writes to these Christians, and he says, I say through the grace given unto me to every man is among you, that not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. You know what? If you make a decision in pride, if you have a proud heart and you make a decision, and that decision is based on feeding your pride, I can almost guarantee you, you're going to make the wrong decision. You know, let me plead with you. And again, you know, you just got to take these things and apply them. You need to. But there's way too many people that absolutely insist on making a decision themselves. And there's almost this pride factor. I know best for me. I'm not going to ask anybody. I'm not going to seek counsel. You better be careful. Can I suggest something that you should not think more highly of yourself than you ought?
Yes, sir. Good.
Be careful about making sure that when you're making a decision, you have a humility about you. Listen, you not only need to have a humble heart, you need to have a sober heart, a serious heart. For I say to you, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Get pride out of the decision, but to think soberly. And that word soberly is so important. What that's talking about is seriously, to think disciplined. Listen, I believe we don't take seriously enough some of the decisions we make in life. This isn't a game. Oh, well, it boils down to it. It really doesn't matter. Yes, it really matters. Yes, it really matters. Well, if I do this, that, it's not. No, it matters. And we need to take a serious approach, a sober approach to it. Young people, you ought, listen, I know some of you are struggling in some decisions in your life. Some of you adults, same thing. You say, Brother Jerry, I just don't want to make the wrong decision. I want to be careful. Thank you, thank you. Thank you for doing it seriously. I've watched Christians just wander through life making off-the-cuff decisions. They don't pray. They don't fast if it's a big decision. They don't spend time in the Bible. They never seek godly counsel. They're just, man, just whatever pops in their mind at that moment, they just, well, I'll just, you know, what in the world? I am afraid of messing up and making the wrong decision. Listen, men, let me just challenge you on this. If we as men make the wrong decision, it just doesn't affect us, it affects our wives. It doesn't just affect us, it affects our children. I've got to stay in the will of God. I've got to stay in the will of God. I've got to stay in the will of God. Now, let me ask you an honest question. The decision that you've made or you're contemplating making, is it based on pride? Is it based on pride? Is it because of what you're going to get out of it? Is it feeding something prideful in you? Are you making it because you don't want to follow, you want to lead? Are you making it because you don't want to submit, you want to be king? I'm going to tell you, our pride leads us astray so many times. We can try to sanctify it. We can try to baptize it with God's name. But what we ought to do is take the scriptures and say, listen, is there a humility about what I'm doing? Is there a seriousness about the decision I'm going to make? And then let me say this also. The verse ends by saying, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Make sure you have a humble heart, a sober heart. But let me say this also. In making a decision, you have to have faith. The Bible says anything that's not of faith is sin. And most every decision in life, there's going to be a time where God settles it in your heart that you're to go a certain direction. When he does, you know what? Most of the time, it takes a step of faith to step out and do that, what he's commanded you to do. Now, I want to spend my life in the will of God. I decided early on that I wanted to surrender my life to the will of God. I want to talk to young people for a second in closing here. I'm talking about some of you that are 14 and 15, 16 years old. You know what? You have your whole life ahead of you. You have a chance, an opportunity to do it right. But you're not going to mess it up and miss it or do it right because you did it right for one day. You're going to have to decide that every day of your life, you're going to try to seek out and discern and find the will of God and live in God's will that day. And then the next day, you get up and do it again. The next day, you get up and do it again. And there's going to be days where you have small decisions to make. You're going to have days where you have huge decisions to make. But let me just encourage you to stay in the will of God. Don't miss God's will for your life. Let's bow our hearts and let's bow our heads for a moment. I'm not going to pray for a second. I just want to have us to have a time where we bow our heads and bow our hearts. I want you to think through this. Think through this. Brother Jerry, I'm trying to make an important decision in my life. Are you saved? Is the flesh involved? Is your mind thinking spiritually? Are you seeing it from God's perspective? Are you thinking like Jesus Christ? Have you approached it with a humble heart? Are you approaching it with a serious heart? Do you understand that whatever God tells you to do, it's going to require you to have a certain amount of faith? You're going to have to step out by faith at some point in order to do it. I want to pray for you, and I don't need to know all of the reasons or what, and I won't ask any details. How many would say, Brother Jerry, right now there's a decision or there's an area of my life in which I'm trying to discern the will of God? And I seriously would like you to pray about that with me. And would you raise your hand right now? Raise your hand all over the auditorium. My goodness sakes, I may have been lowballing the 50%. You can put your hands down. There's something I'm trying to decide about. Listen, are you saved? If you're not, boy, that's a great starting point. Listen, don't live your life without God. You need God's help in discerning the will of God. His will for your life. What about your flesh? Is it getting in the way of the decision? Is it muddy in the waters? Man, build you an altar and present your body a living sacrifice unto God, holy and acceptable. How about your mind? Are you approaching it from a worldly standpoint? Are you thinking it about it the same way a lost person would think about it? Are you evaluating it based on earthly principles or scriptural principles? And then what about your heart? Is there a humility? Is there a soberness? Is there a willingness, if God tells you to do something, is there a willingness to step out by faith and do it? Heavenly Father, help these that raised their hand this morning. I don't know why this particular message, this particular hour. And Lord, this is kind of an unusual Sunday morning message, but Lord, for a purpose, Lord, I'm convinced of that. I believe, yeah, I know this was the will of God for this hour. So I pray, God, that you'd give others in this room some discernment, some wisdom as they contemplate your will for their future. I pray that they just listen and look at the Bible principles that are there. You would help them and lead them and guide them. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.